welcome to another part of our Zano Animal podcast. Today we want to talk about a topic that is discussed quite controversial in the tech rooms, and that's riding without a saddle or just with a pad. I mean, come on, ladies, who hasn't had that daydream at least once in their life? You know, sunset, beach, your favorite horse galloping underneath you, no saddle, no bridle, arms stretched out, and your heart just explodes with that feeling of freedom and perfect connection between yourself and your beloved horse. I mean, I certainly have. And it's a gorgeous image. But biomechanically speaking, it's a bit of a nightmare. And I'm saying this as an equine osteopath. So the question is not how romantic is that image in our head, but what actually happens in our horse's body when we ride bareback or with a pad or fur saddle or whatever treeless options are available out there. Where are the upsides, mostly for the rider? And where are the downsides? Mostly for the horse. And in which situation is that totally fine? And when does a well-fitted, proper saddle really needs to be on the horse's back? So let's start with the obvious. Riding without a saddle or just with a pad is brutally honest, reality check for the rider. If you can sit in all three gates bareback, really loose and relaxed, without grabbing onto anything, without hanging in the reins, without clamping with your legs, then your balance is probably actually pretty good. Because as soon as the saddle disappears, all our little helpers disappear as well. No stirrups to push against, no knee rolls to hide in, and no saddle seat that holds your backside in place. All these things usually support us during riding without us really noticing. And when you ride bareback, you're sitting directly on the horse's back muscles. And if you notice that you constantly tip forward or backward, sit heavier on one side, or you suddenly start feeling wobbly and start sliding around in certain gates, that's your body telling you very clearly where your own balance isn't quite there yet. You're doing the same with the saddle as well. You just don't notice it. Your horse does, but you don't notice it. So it's really a reality check for yourself. For you as a rider, that's a fantastic feedback. For your body awareness, your balance, your feel for the movement of the horse, it's really perfect. But, and this is a big but, just because it's a great exercise for the rider does not automatically mean it's great for the horse. And here we have to talk about the pressure on the horse's back. A well-fitted saddle has, in theory at least, a fairly large weight-bearing surface. It spreads your weight over a bigger area of the back muscles and moves the pressure more to the sides away from the spinal column. It takes your seat bones a bit out of the line of fire of the back muscles, especially if you use it the way it's meant to be used, more in a light or half seat with elastic joints instead of, you know, sinking down into it like an armchair, like I see a lot of riders riding. That's not what the saddle is for. Biomechanically, a saddle is more of a standing aid than a sitting aid. It's there to help you get your pelvis out of the direct path of the movement. The movement impulse comes from the behind, runs over the long back muscle, the muscle musculus longissimus, and then travels forward to the forehand. So the back hand pushes the forehand out of the way in the forward motion. If you sit directly on that and your pelvis is locked, you're literally sitting on that conveyor belt of the back muscles, blocking it. And that's exactly what happens when you ride bareback or with one of these bareback pads or fur saddles. Your weight is concentrated on a much smaller area, mainly on your seat bones. Those are the sticky things, you know, poking out of your behind. And if your hips aren't really soft and following the movement, your seat is pressing with every single step into the very muscle that is supposed to swing. Now, we're at the part that often gets wrapped in a lot of romance. A lot of people will tell you that without a saddle, the horse can finally swing freely over the back. For most horses and their riders, that's almost impossible. To truly go over the back, the horse has to be able to lift the back, engage the abdominal muscles, bring the hind legs under the body, and let the movement flow from the hindquarters over the back towards the front. And right there, on that highway of movement, you're sitting with your seat bones parked on the longissimus, basically standing on the power cable that's supposed to carry the energy from back to front. And that's something we don't really like to talk about, but if you're also a bit heavier or unconsciously holding yourself with your seat, this romantically free very quickly turns into completely blocked, which brings us to rider weight. That's a sensitive topic, I know that, but you should always make sure that you don't weigh more than 15% of your horse's weight. So if you have a 500 kilogram horse, which is like a medium-sized halfling or something, you shouldn't weigh, including all your tech, you shouldn't weigh more than 75 kilogram. And 75 kilogram really is not a lot, because it's not you standing naked on the scale in the morning with on an empty stomach and without anything, but it's you after lunch with your saddle with all your clothes on, and then you should be below those 75 kilo. And I know a lot of riders that are much heavier than that, and so that plays a huge role when you try to ride bareback on your horse. As long as you're relatively light, you're well balanced and doing a few minutes of walk or some easy trot bareback, a healthy and well muscled, well trained horse that's being worked correctly normally will usually cope just fine. But the more weight and the less balance and the longer the ride, the bigger the problem. So for heavier riders, for horses that are not well in training, or horses with a sensitive or already problematic back, riding bareback or just with a pad can become a serious health issue very quickly. They have more peak pressure on a smaller area. They don't have this distribution of weight, and a tense and unstable seat is quite common in those cases. And also I see a lot of riders riding bareback doing a constant adjusting because they're sliding around on the back, and they all the time they try to adjust, you know, slipping from left to right, from right to left, trying to find the middle again, because they simply don't have the same support like they have with a saddle, and they're not in balance. And all of that means microtrauma in the muscles, tension, and the horse reacts with a protective muscle tone, and in worst case it leads to back pain for the horse. So what a lot of horses do when you ride them bareback, they start to drop the back, use the hindquarters less, they shorten the stride, they lift the neck, and that's when you sometimes hear, oh, bareback riding is so comfy, it feels like sitting in a sofa. Yes, exactly, because the back is hanging like an old hammock instead of lifting and putting you on something that feels more like a gymnastics ball. This is what you want to have. Normally when the horse really engages its hindquarters and really lifts its back, then it feels like you're sitting on top of a gymnastic ball and not inside your comfortable sofa or couch at home. So if the horse's back really works properly, you're sitting up and not down. So the reality is the horse's body is trying to protect itself by trying to get the back more or less out of the way and not engaging the back muscles. Now, a lot of people use these pads or fur saddles or felt saddles. There are a lot of products out there for more or less bareback riding. And on paper, they sound like a great compromise. Not completely without the saddle, but not that stiff saddle tree either. So soft, close to the horse, and looking nice too. But the problem is all these models, from simple bareback pad to felt saddle to fur saddle, don't have a rigid tree that really carries the weight and spreads it over a larger area. That's the reason why people invented saddles in the first place. When the first people hopped on the back of the horses, they didn't use any saddles, but riding the horses like that for a longer time a day, they soon found that the horses would develop back problems. So they tried to find a solution for that, and this is why humankind developed saddles with a stiff tree that spreads the weight over a larger area, so the horse can keep lifting its back and can walk with the rider all day without really compromising its back health. But these bareback solutions, all these treeless solutions, yes, they're soft and they wrap around the back, but that essentially means the pressure from your body still gets passed straight into the horse's back, just with a bit of fluff in between. So it's not good, it's just slightly padded bad. what you're doing here. And what I also see is that a lot of these products have stirrups attached to that. But if you hang stirrups on a pad without a proper tree, the extra pressure that gets concentrated exactly where the stirrups attachment are, which is usually right behind the withers. And believe me, the muscles underneath it are not amused, and also the spine is absolutely not amused if you do this. And when you ride with one of these treeless products, there's another issue, and that's slipping. All these pads or fur saddles or whatever aren't absolutely stable on the back. They will slip more easily, especially on certain shapes when you have very round horses with little wither, for example. And every slip, every time you yank it straight again, creates shear forces on the skin and the tissue underneath. So biomechanically, that's just extra stress on the back that the horse really doesn't need. So when you look at it that way through the biomechanical glasses, does it mean never ride bareback, never use a pad again? No, it's not that extreme. The world is not black and white, but usually very colorful. So there are situations where riding without a saddle or with a decent pad is absolutely fine and even useful. For example, as a short exercise to test and train your own balance and walk on good footing for a few minutes on a well-trained, healthy horse with a strong back. Or in a setup where you're truly working on your seat, ideally on the lunge, so you don't have to worry about steering and using your legs at the same time. You just can concentrate on your seat. And let's be honest, working on the rider's seat is one of the biggest things and the most difficult discipline we have, because basically riding is all about the seat of the rider. And riding bareback or doing seat training without a saddle can be incredibly helpful to catch your own habits. Are you really sitting in the middle? Do you tip to the side in corners? Do you slide off to one side and canter as soon as the horse gets a bit faster? And you notice all of that much more clearly without a saddle than if you have the saddle that supports you. And I mean, also hopping on a bareback to ride a very short distance from the barn to the field. If everything else fits, you have a healthy horse, you're not too heavy, it's a short distance, you have a decent ground, it's not going to wreck a reasonably muscled horse. But what really matters is the overall load over weeks and months. So that's the important point. So if you like to go hacking with your horse for hours and hours out there, definitely use a saddle. Don't do this bareback. Of course, you can go bareback. For example, if it's winter and you just want to make a short round, like 20 minutes or so, just to warm up your horse or get a bit exercised in a walk, not standing around all day, yeah, then that's okay. If your horse is basically well trained, you can do this. But don't go on a hacking for 2 or 3 hours out there without a saddle. That's really a bad thing for the back of your horse. So there are situations where you really should put on a proper and well-fitted saddle, even if that kills our romantic Instagram vibe a little. When I'm talking about a fitting saddle, not a non-fitting saddle, because this can be even worse than bareback riding. So I'm talking about a saddle that really fits your horse. So when should we definitely work with a saddle? Every time when you ride longer distances, especially in trot and canter. So, you know, your long hacking rides, definitely a saddle. When you're on the heavier side for the size of your horse, so when you're close to these 15% of your horse's own body weight, and I mean the normal body weight, if you have a fat horse, if your horse should weigh 500 kilogram, but actually weighs 600 kilogram, it's already carrying 100 kilogram extra weight around. So you should not put your own 80 kilogram on top of that. So when you're on the heavier side, then definitely use a saddle, a well-fitting saddle. When your horse has back issues and tends to get tight in the back, and you can easily check this when you brush your horse and you really brush really heavily the back and the horse tries to to pull back the back muscles so that the back drops and it looks like your horse is, you know, going on its knees, trying to avoid the brushing, that's back issues. If you just press your fingertips into the longissimus, into the back muscle where your saddle normally lies, and the horse tries to shift away and tries to get away from this pressure, then you know your horse has a severe back pain, and you guess definitely should get your saddle checked and also get an osteopath, because something's really wrong in your horse's back. When should we also use a saddle? When we're in the build-up phase. So in young horses and rehab horses, when horses had a long time off for whatever reason and we restart them, we should use a saddle for that, because they don't have the back muscles now to carry you without a saddle. So definitely use a saddle on these horses. And also when your seat is not yet truly independent and stable. So beginner on horses, it's much easier for the horse if you start with a saddle and try to find a balance in the saddle first, then try to find the balance in the saddle without the stirrups, and then start checking on your seat bareback. But always for the real training, use the saddle, because you're sliding around so much on the back that your horse is not happy when you try to ride bareback. And when you're doing dressage work, lateral movements, collection, all this gymnastics work, always use a saddle, because horses basically can't do this without you using a saddle. So in all those cases, your horse needs every bit of help you can give it to distribute your weight as evenly as possible, to free the spinal column, to free the longissimus muscle, and to even allow real movement over the back in the first place. And in that context, a good, well-fitted saddle is still miles better than a naked back or acute fur pad. So one really important mindset shift here: the saddle is not the enemy, but the saddle must fit the horse. And some people will tell you that the saddle is responsible for pretty much everything that's not working in the horse. So the saddle is the one to blame for pretty much everything, whether the horse is rearing or bucking or whatever it's doing. And yes, a badly fitted saddle can cause huge damage. No question about that. If it's too tight, if it's too long, if it sits in the wrong place, then that's an absolute disaster for the horse. No question about that. But the opposite idea, that bareback is automatically more horse friendly, is just wrong. What you need is a saddle that fits the horse, because a good saddle increases the bearing surface, takes your seat bones off the direct pressure from the longissimus, lets you ride more in a light seat and move your pelvis more freely, which is important when the horse is supposed to lift its back, and it gives you stability so you don't have to cling to the horse, particularly when it's a bit faster and when you're out there in the wilderness and your horse may jump left or right because it's scared of something, you know, coming out of the bushes. So you need more stability. And if you're doing gymnastics, if you train your horse, you need to get your pelvis out of the way, and this only works when you have a saddle. Okay, now we've talked a lot about saddles. Does that mean you're never allowed to sit on your horse without one? No, of course not. It just means if you train your horse regularly, if you're doing proper gymnastic work, if you go on longer hacks, then a well-fitted saddle is not a luxury extra. It's a basic equipment for horse-friendly riding. So a kind of practical way to use this is treat bareback or pad riding as a training tool for you, not as a permanent solution for your horse. So then you're good. You're using the saddle where it's supposed to be used, and you can ride bareback when it really helps you to improve your seat. For example, when you have once a week, you ride 10 or 15 minutes and walk at the end of your training session without a saddle to just check your seat or for the cool down of your horse. Or occasionally you do a short balance session on the lunge, just walk and a bit of trot to check your balance and work on that. But do the proper work, the long rides, the canter stretches, the gymnastics exercises, always with a well-fitted saddle. And if you really love riding with just a pad or a fur saddle, please be really honest with yourself. Does this thing actually distribute your weight in any meaningful way, or is it basically a nicely padded rag? Does it tend to slip sideways or forwards when you ride your horse? How does your horse feel afterwards? Soft and relaxed through the back or tight and defensive? Again, try to poke with your fingers into the back muscle and see how the horse reacts. A horse with a relaxed muscle will just stand there and don't mind. But if the horse tries to move away from your poking fingers, it means your horse has a tight back, the muscles are in pain. And also, what you should watch out for is, does your horse, the way your horse move, change with or without the pad? So if you do like 2 weeks training just in hand, just from the ground without any riding, watch how your horse moves, watch how the stride really is, and then ride it with your pad. And again, watch your horse, have somebody film you and watch your horse's moves when you ride with your pad, and then compare the two, and you will see that a lot of horses do not move as freely when you ride them bareback than they will with the saddle, or if you just have them running around without you on their back. And your horse never lies. If the back drops away, the strides get shorter, the canter feels choppy, or your horse doesn't like being touched on the back after riding, that's a pretty clear sign that the load, the way you're currently riding with or without saddle, isn't working for that horse. So in the end, you can put it quite simply, bareback or pad riding can be a really valuable exercise for the rider, but from the horse's point of view, it should be the exception, not the standard. So the pretty picture and the feeling of freedom on our beach with our horse galloping underneath us doesn't help your horse if the biomechanics are going downhill. And if you really want to ride in a way that's fair to your horse, it's worth asking yourself very honestly, how much do I weigh? How good is my seat? How long do I ride? And what kind of shape is my horse in? And what does this back need to stay healthy long term? So if you answer these questions honestly, usually you will end up with, okay, I better take the saddle for most of my rides and do the bareback only very occasionally. So the bareback riding can be the honest reality check, the occasional balance test for the rider, but not the excuse to say he moves so much better over the back without anything on, because biomechanically, it's actually the other way around. So that's it for today's podcast. Thank you for listening in. I hope I could give you some new food for thought on the topic. And don't forget to check out our website, zanoanimal.com, where we post new information on various health topics every day. I hope to see you soon again with our next podcast.